أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين حضرت صلى الله عليه وسلم.
With regards to the generosity and munificence of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In one narration, it is recorded that Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that some people from among the Ansar asked something from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he granted it to them. They asked him again, and he again gave them something. They asked him yet again, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, granted them once again, so much so that whatever he possessed had finished. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said, whatever wealth I may possess, I will most certainly not keep it hidden from you. Nevertheless, whoever refrains from asking, Allah the Almighty will also protect him. At the same time, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, offered guidance with regards to imploring others to be given something. And he further stated, whoever seeks to be self-sufficient from worldly wealth, Allah the Almighty will make him self-sufficient. And whoever remains patient by going through an inner struggle, Allah the Almighty will grant him patience. And no one has been given a blessing that is vaster and better than patience. In certain difficulties, hardships and needs, it is essential to remain patient, as Allah the Almighty rewards one for this. Hazrat Ibn Umar relates that once we were on a journey alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and I was riding a very strong and spirited young camel that belonged to my father, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The camel would overpower me and surge ahead of the others, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would rebuke it. That is, he would be firm with the camel and refrain it from moving ahead and call it back and hold it back. And perhaps he would either strike it or scare it somewhat. But in any case, he would use whatever method is used to urge on or stop a camel, and the camel would subsequently fall behind the others. However, it would again move ahead of the mounts of the people, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would once again rebuke it and bring it back. And he did so out of respect for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, so that no mount or rider would move ahead of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Hazrat Umar could not tolerate any rider or mount moving ahead of the mount of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And observing this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said to Hazrat Umar, "Now sell this camel to me." He replied that, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, it is already yours." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said again that, "Sell it to me." Accordingly, he sold it to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "O Abdullah bin Umar, this camel now belongs to you. Do with it as you please." This was a remarkable manner of giving a gift. At the same time, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, demonstrated and clarified to them that the camel was merely an animal, and that there was no harm in it moving ahead in this manner. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, further said that this camel has now been given as a gift from me, and even if it moves ahead of the other mounts now, it will simply be said that the camel that was gifted by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has moved ahead. As Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates, that I was with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, on one of the military expeditions, and my camel's pace had slowed and it was exhausted. When it became exhausted, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came to me and said, "Jabir," and I replied, "Yes." He asked, "What has happened?" I submitted that my camel has become slow in walking and has become tired, therefore I've fallen behind. the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then dismounted his riding animal and began pulling my camel with his staff. He then said, mount it. So I mounted it, and I saw that it became so swift that it even began moving ahead of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, due to which I had to restrain it. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then asked me, that have you married? I responded that yes. After this, he stated that you are about to reach your home, and when you arrive, act wisely and with care. In other words, there should be kind and good treatment within the home. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that will you sell this camel to me? I replied that yes. And so the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, purchased it from me for 1 Oqiyah of silver, a unit of measurement equal to 37 grams. Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, reached Medina before me, and I arrived the following morning. We came to the mosque, and I found him at the door of the mosque, and he said, have you arrived now? I replied, yes. He said, leave your camel and go into the mosque and offer 2 rakat of prayer. And so I went inside and offered the prayer. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said to Hazrat Bilal, that weigh out 1 oqiyah of silver and give it to him. Hazrat Bilal weighed it out and gave it to me, and he tilted the scale in my favor, meaning he gave a little extra. Then I turned and began to leave. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said, call Jabir and bring him to me. And I thought to myself, now he is going to return my camel to me. And there was nothing more displeasing to me than that he should return it after having purchased it. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then stated, that take your camel, and its price also belongs to you. Another narration also states that Hazrat Jabir said, that after this I passed by a Jew, and when I related this entire incident to him, he became extremely astonished. And he said, that did he return the price as well, and also give the camel back to you? I replied, yes, this is how it happened. Hazrat Jabir says, that such great blessing was placed in this gift from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that the camel remained alive throughout the blessed era of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the era of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and into the era of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was the impact of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's example, and his moral training and his spiritual power that had an influence upon all the companions. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was also influenced by this, and it was for this reason that she entrusted her wealth to him without any fear of difficulty. Thus it is narrated that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, appearing somewhat concerned. Hazrat Khadija asked him that what has happened, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that it is a time of famine, and I feel hesitant before you that if I spend the wealth, then your wealth may come to an end, and if I do not spend it, then I fear Allah. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha then gathered the Quraysh, among whom was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that Hazrat Khadija brought out dinars and piled them up, and owing to the abundance of wealth, I could not even see who was sitting in front of me. Then Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha said, that bear witness that all of this wealth belongs to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. If he wishes, he may spend it, and if he wishes, he may keep it. Thus, she gave it in order to remove his worry, as if to say that it's okay and that you may spend it. Hazrat Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that a person once came before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked for something to be given to him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that at this moment I do not have anything. You can purchase some items you require on me, and when I will receive something, I will pay for it. Upon this, Hazrat Umar submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, you have already given him something, and Allah the Almighty has not held you responsible for that which is beyond your means. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, expressed disapproval at what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said. Following this, someone from the Ansar submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, please spend and do not fear of being left impoverished by the Lord of the Throne. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled at this comment from the Ansari man, and the expressions of happiness began to appear on his countenance. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated that this is precisely what I have been commanded. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that the Ahlul Suffa were the guests of the Muslims. They had neither homes in which to rest, nor anyone with whom they could stay. And whenever some charity, a sadaqah, came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, he would send it to them and would not take anything from it himself. In any case, he did not accept charity as it was prohibited for him and intended for the poor. However, whenever a gift came to him, he would then call the Ahlul Suffa to share in it, and he would also partake of it himself and distribute it among them. What lofty standards the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, demonstrated in generosity, compassion and moral training can also be seen in the following narration. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that once a Bedouin came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked for assistance regarding some need. The narrator, Ikrima, says that he thought the man had come seeking help in paying blood money. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave him something and then asked, that have I treated you kindly? The Bedouin replied, that no, you have not treated me well. Upon this, some of the Muslims became extremely upset, and they intended to move towards him and confront him. But the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stopped them with a gesture. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then got up, went home and called the Bedouin to his house. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said to him, that you came to us and asked from us, and we gave you something, yet you said what you said. In other words, that I had been unjust, i.e. the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had been unjust to him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then gave him more from his home and asked, then now tell me, have I treated you kindly? Upon this, the Bedouin man replied, that yes, may Allah reward your household and your people with the best reward. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then said, that you came to us and asked from us, and we gave to you, but you spoke whatever came into your mind. In other words, he spoke without thinking. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said, my companions now feel upset because of what you said. And so when you go back out, say before them what you have just said to me, so that whatever remains in their hearts may be removed. In other words, he should repeat before the companions that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had indeed treated him kindly. The narrator says that when the Bedouin returned, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that this companion of yours came to us and asked from us, so we gave to him. Yet he said what came to his mind. Then we called him and gave him more, and now he says that he is pleased. Is that correct? Upon this, the Bedouin replied that yes, and may Allah reward you and your household and your people with the best reward. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated that my example and the example of this Bedouin are like a man whose she-camel ran away in fright. People chased after it, which only caused it to flee further. And the owner then said that leave me and my camel, for I know better how to deal with it, and I will treat it more gently. If you continue chasing it, it will only run further away. The owner then approached the camel himself, carrying some grass to attract it. In other words, he held some grass in his hand as he approached the camel, and he drew it towards himself until it came near, and then he placed the saddle upon it and mounted it. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then explained that the camel comes towards the grass, and when it sees it, it approaches, and when it comes close, the saddle can then be placed upon it. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated that if I had accepted your suggestion at the moment when you wanted to deal with him harshly because of the Bedouin's harsh words, and if I had allowed you to act harshly, then he would have ended up in the fire. But I saved him, and now he has become content. Thus, these were the ways in which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gave to others. He even took the Bedouin into his home and gave from there. He could have brought something outside and given it there, but instead he showed him that, look, there are no luxuries or worldly comforts in my home either. Yet whatever I have, I am giving to you, and in this way the Bedouin's heart was also reassured. Hazrat Rubay bint Mu'awwiz bin Afra narrates that her father Mu'awwiz bin Afra sent her to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, carrying one sa, a unit of measurement, of fresh dates with small fresh cucumbers placed on top, because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, liked cucumbers. At that very time, jewelry had arrived from Bahrain for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And so he took a handful from among those ornaments and gave them to her. Another narration states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, filled her hands with jewelry or gold and then said that wear this. Thus, this was the beautiful manner in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, returned a gift. In exchange for dates and cucumbers, he gave her gold jewelry. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that whenever a funeral was brought before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for someone who had outstanding debts, he would ask whether the deceased had left behind any wealth with which the debt could be repaid. If the people replied that he had, then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would lead the funeral prayer. Otherwise, he would say to the Muslims that you perform the funeral prayer for your companion. Later, when Allah granted the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, further victories, he said that I am closer to the believers than even their relatives. Therefore, if any believer passed away leaving unpaid debt, then the responsibility of repaying it would be upon me. And if someone left behind wealth, then that wealth belonged to their heirs. In other words, if there was debt, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that he would take responsibility for paying it. But if there was inheritance left behind, then it belonged to the rightful heirs. Abdullah Hosni narrates that I met Bilal, the Muazzin, the one who makes the call to prayer of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, at Aleppo. And I said to him that, O Bilal, tell me how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, managed his expenses. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that he had nothing of his own. I was the one who handled all of his affairs, and from the time he was sent as a prophet, from the moment I pledged allegiance to him, I managed everything right up until the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed away. And whenever a Muslim came to him, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, saw that he had no clothing, he would instruct me and I would go and borrow money, buy a garment for that person, clothe him and feed him. Until one day a polytheist merchant came to me and said that, O Bilal, I have ample wealth, borrow only from me, and so I continued to do so. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu further narrates that one day I had performed ablution and was standing up to deliver the call for prayer when that same polytheist arrived with a group of merchants, and when he saw me, he called out and said, O Abyssinian. I said, yes. He looked at me with contempt and addressed me harshly. And he said that, do you know how many days remain between now and the end of the month? In other words, the deadline we had agreed upon for repaying the debt by such and such date or within a month. And he then said that, do you know how many days are left? Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that I told him that the time was near and I was aware of it. Upon this he said, there are only 4 days left until the repayment date, and on account of what you owe me, I will seize you and send you back to the state you were in before, that is, herding sheep and goats. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu further narrates that my heart felt what any man's heart would feel in such a moment, and a state of deep anguish came over me, and I continued until I had prayed Isha, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had returned to his family, and I sought permission to come to him, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave me permission to enter during the night. I then submitted to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. The polytheist from whom I used to borrow has said such and such to me, and you have nothing with which you could settle this on my behalf. Because he would borrow on the instruction of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to give to such and such person. And now neither you have anything and nor do I, and he intends to humiliate me. thus, grant me leave to go to one of the tribes that have embraced Islam until Allah provides for His Messenger, peace be upon him, what he can be used to repay what I owe. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu further says that I left and returned home. Having taken leave of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, I came home and I laid my sword, my bag, my sandals and my shield beside my head, intending to set out at first light, i.e. the moment dawn broke, I would depart. And this was my resolve. He says that in the morning a man came running, calling out that, O Bilal, present yourself before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And so I set off, and instead of making the journey that I had planned, I went to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, when he summoned me, and I found 4 she-camels loaded with goods. I sought permission from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to leave, saying that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, I am about to set off on my journey. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said to me that, rejoice, for Allah has arranged the means to settle your debt. Then he said that, did you not see those 4 kneeling she-camels? I said, indeed I did. He said, they are yours, their halters and everything upon them. There are garments and grain on them, sent to me as a gift by the chief of Fidak. Take them and repay your debt with them. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu further relates that I did exactly that. Then I went to the mosque where the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was seated. I greeted him and he asked, what became of the matter you were dealing with? I said that every obligation that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, owed on his behalf, Allah has settled it all, and nothing remains outstanding. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked, is there anything left over? I said, yes. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, provide contentment to me through this wealth. That is, whatever remains, spend it on the poor, for I will not return to my family until you have done so and set my mind at rest. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had prayed Isha, he called me and asked that what has become of what you were tasked with, meaning what had happened with the remaining wealth he had asked for him to distribute. I submitted that no one has come to receive it, and it is still with me as it was. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, spent the night in the mosque, saying that, very well, then I too will not go home, and I will remain in the mosque. The following day, after he had prayed Isha, he called me once again and asked that what has become of the matter that was before you. I said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Allah has now relieved you of it, meaning the wealth has been distributed. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, praised and glorified Allah the Almighty out of his fear that death might come upon him whilst that wealth still remained in his possession. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I then followed behind him as he went to each of his wives, greeted every one of them, and then retired to the place where he was to spend the night. Hazrat Umme Sumbula radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that I came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with a gift, but the wives of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, refused to accept it, saying that we do not accept gifts. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, arrived and said that, accept Umme Sumbula's gift, for she is from our people of the countryside and we are from the people of her town. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then accepted her gift himself and granted her such and such a valley in return. That is to say, he received her gift and then gave her an entire region as a gift in exchange, as has been mentioned before, that he would bestow boundless generosity even in return for the smallest of gifts. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed that Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu be granted as much land as his horse could cover. In other words, go ahead, ride your horse, and wherever it stops, all of that land is yours. After the conquest, vast territories had come into the Muslims' possession. And so Hazrat Zubair rode his horse until it came to a halt, and when it stopped, he still wanted a little more, so he threw the whip he was holding in his hand, and it flew a considerable distance. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said that give him the land up to wherever his whip has reached. Hazrat Jubair bin Mut'im radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he was once traveling with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, along with others, on the journey back from Hunain. Some Bedouins approached the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, along the road, and began pressing him with requests. They crowded the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, so insistently that he was pushed back against an acacia tree, and his cloak became caught in its branches. And in some narrations, it is also mentioned that when the cloak was caught, they began pulling at it until marks appeared on his neck. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "Now return my cloak to me, and know that if I had livestock equal in number to these thorn trees, I would most certainly distribute them all among you, and you would never find me miserly, nor a liar, and nor a coward." Whilst mentioning this incident, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu writes that after the conquest of Makkah and the Battle of Hunain, the wealth that had been collected from the penalties imposed upon the defeated enemies and from the possessions left behind on the battlefield was, according to the established practice, to be distributed by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, among the Muslim army. On this occasion, however, instead of distributing this wealth among the Muslims, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, distributed it among the people of Makkah and the surrounding areas. Faith had not yet truly taken root in the hearts of these people, and many of them were still disbelievers, and even those who had accepted Islam had only recently done so. For them, the concept of people distributing their wealth amongst others was entirely novel. Yet instead of this distribution producing goodness and righteousness in their hearts, their greed increased all the more. They crowded around the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and began troubling him with further demands, until, pushing and pressing upon him, they forced him back against a tree. One person even seized the cloak that was resting upon his blessed shoulder and twisted it with such force that it began to choke him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "O people, if I possessed anything more, then I would give that to you as well, and you will never find me miserly or cowardly." He then went to his she-camel and plucked a single hair from it and raised it before them and said that, "O people, I have no need of your wealth, not even an amount equal to this hair, except for the 1/5 share which belongs to the government according to the law of Arabia. In fact, I do not even spend that 1/5 on myself. Rather, that too is spent for your benefit as well. Also remember that one who is dishonest will be disgraced before God on the Day of Judgment on account of their dishonesty." After relating this incident, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that people claim that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam desired kingship. But is this how kings and subjects interact with one another? Who would have the power to push a king in this manner and throw a cloak around his neck and begin choking him? Who other than the prophets of God can display such an example? During the Battle of Tabuk, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, received a beautiful horse, whose sound was very pleasing to him. A man from the Ansar said to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that, "May my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Please grant this horse to me." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that it is yours. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha relates that during the illness which resulted in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, passing away, he said that, "O Aisha, what has become of the gold?" She brought 5 to 9 gold coins that were in the house and presented them to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Turning them over in his hand, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "How would Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stand before Allah the Almighty if he were to meet him whilst this gold was still in his possession? O Aisha, spend this gold." In other words, he told her to distribute it. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Once the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came to his home and asked, 'What do we have in our home?' Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought out 2 gold coins and gave them to him and said that, 'This is all we have.' The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, placed them in his palm and said that, 'What is the condition of that prophet who leaves behind 2 gold coins?' And then he distributed them straight away. Regarding the distribution of the spoils of the Battle of Hunain, It is recorded that 6,000 male and female prisoners of war were acquired as part of the spoils. Some narrations mention the number as 8,000. There were 24,000 camels, more than 40,000 sheep and goats, and 40,000 orkia of silver, which is approximately 490 kilograms. One orkia is equal to $10.5. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, began distributing the spoils, he started by using it to build bonds of friendship with the leading figures among the Arabs and men of honor and influence within their respective tribes. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, granted them gifts in order to bring them closer. To some he gave 100 camels, and to others 50, in addition to silver and prisoners. Abu Sufyan bin Harb was given 100 camels. And when Abu Sufyan came into the presence of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he saw a heap of silver before him and said, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, you have become the wealthiest of the Quraysh." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled and gave Abu Sufyan 40 orkia of silver and 100 camels. Abu Sufyan then said, "Now please grant something to my son Yazid as well." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed that 40 orkia of silver and 100 camels be given to him too. This Yazid was the son of Abu Sufyan, not the infamous Yazid. The latter was Abu Sufyan's grandson, the son of Hazrat Muawiyah. In any case, Abu Sufyan then said, "O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, please give something to my other son Muawiyah as well." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed that 40 orkia of silver and 100 camels be given to him as well. Upon this, Abu Sufyan stated, "That may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. You are indeed generous. I fought against you, and how excellent a warrior you proved to be. Then I made peace with you, and how excellent you are in making peace. May Allah grant you the best reward." Among those who benefited from the generosity and gifts of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was Safwan bin Umayyah, one of the chiefs of Makkah. This was the same Safwan from whom the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had borrowed armor and weapons for the Battle of Hunain. Safwan had participated in the Battle of Hunain while still a polytheist, but during that very battle, his heart began to change. When the time came to distribute the spoils, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave him 100 camels, and according to a narration in Sahih Muslim, he gave him 300 camels. Another narration relates that during those days, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, passed through a valley filled with camels and goats from the spoils of war. Safwan looked on in amazement at such an abundance of wealth. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that, "O Abu Wahab," this was Safwan's filial appellation, "has this valley amazed you?" He replied, "Yes." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "All of it is yours. Take it." Safwan immediately exclaimed, "That I bear witness that you are the Prophet of Allah, for only a prophet could give in such a manner." According to another narration, Safwan bin Umayyah himself states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, continued giving me from the spoils of Hunain to the extent that whereas previously the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had been the most disliked person to me among all creation, he then became the most beloved person to me among all creation. In short, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, continued giving to various chiefs of Arabia. Their number is said to have exceeded 50. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "On one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, possessed a large flock of goats and sheep. A disbeliever said that you possess such a vast number of goats and sheep that even Caesar and Chosroes do not own so much." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave the man the entire flock. And he accepted the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, immediately and understood that only a prophet could exhibit such a magnificent display of generosity. After this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit to summon the remaining people. The wealth that still remained was then distributed among them, and each person received either 4 camels or 40 sheep. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, distributed the entirety of the spoils of war, which up until that time was the greatest amount of wealth ever acquired in spoils. This aspect of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's blessed character, is worthy of reflection. For opponents level the allegation that Muslims were poor and deprived of wealth, and that wars were therefore initiated for material gain. Had there ever been even the slightest truth in this claim, the spoils of Hunan would have been distributed in a very different manner. Yet here we find that a substantial portion of the spoils was given to win hearts and foster reconciliation of those who were not Muslims. It was granted to the chiefs of the Quraysh, and according to some narrations, the entire wealth was distributed among others. Although there may have been other wisdom and considerations underlying this decision, but the world witnessed that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, kept nothing for himself. Indeed, even his devoted and loyal companions, i.e. the Ansar of Medina, either received nothing from these spoils or were given only a very small share. On the day of the Battle of Hunan, a woman came before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and recited a few verses in which she referred to the days when he had been nursed as an infant among the tribe of Hawazin. Thereupon, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, returned the wealth that had been taken from the Hawazin and bestowed upon them gifts in abundance, to such an extent that the value of what he gave them was estimated at 500,000 dirhams. Ibn Dahiya states that this represented the very pinnacle of generosity. Such generosity had never before been heard of. When the representatives of Hawazin came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, after accepting Islam, and requested that their property and captives be returned to them, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stood and said, "Truthfulness is very dear to me. Choose one of two things. Either take back your captives or your property, for I had been waiting for you at Jerana." In fact, when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, returned from Taif, he waited for more than 10 nights in expectation that they would come and claim their property and captives. When it became clear to them that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would return only one of the two, they said that in that case we choose our captives. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then stood among the Muslims, praised Allah as he deserves to be praised, and then stated that these brothers of yours have come to us in repentance, and I consider it appropriate that their captives be returned to them. Therefore, whoever among you wishes willingly to return his share may do so, and whoever prefers to retain his share, then let him nevertheless return it, and we shall compensate him from the spoils that Allah grants us in the future. Upon this, the people submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for your sake we willingly relinquish these captives. We have no need of any compensation. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said that we do not know which of you have consented to this and which has not. So return now and let your chiefs present your decision before us. In this matter, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, exercised great care, and he instructed that the tribal leaders should convey the people's decision so that it would be established beyond doubt that the captives were truly being returned voluntarily. The people departed and the chiefs consulted with them. Thereafter they returned to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and informed him that all the people had willingly agreed and had granted permission for the captives to be returned. Thus the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, released the captives of Hawazin without taking any compensation whatsoever. And not only did he set them free, but he also presented them with new garments. For the purchase of these clothes, he specifically dispatched a companion to Mecca, and he emphatically instructed that let none of these being freed depart without clothing. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that on the day of the Battle of Hunan, people came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked for assistance. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave them from his own flock of sheep, goats and camels, until nothing remained. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "That what do you desire? Do you wish that I should become miserly? By Allah, I am neither miserly, nor cowardly, nor one who speaks falsely." And so from this perspective, we also observe that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, never exercised generosity and benevolence without wisdom or purpose. There is no doubt that he would give to those who asked, and would really refuse the person who asked. However, on certain occasions, he would wisely refrain from giving something to certain individuals, and there were various considerations and wisdoms underlying such decisions. For instance, on one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was distributing wealth amongst the people. And whilst gifts were being given to many, one particular person was overlooked. and was not given anything. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas relates that this individual was dearer to him than many of those who had received gifts. Wishing that he too should receive something, he said, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, why have you left out such and such person? By Allah, I consider him to be a believer." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, "Oh, a Muslim." Hazrat Sa'd relates that he remained silent for a short while. However, what he knew of that person's character compelled him to speak again. And he repeated his question and said, that "Why have you left out such and such person? By Allah, I consider him to be a believer." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, again replied, "Or a Muslim." Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that what he knew of the man once more prompted him to repeat his statement, and the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, gave him the same reply. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that, "O Sa'd, I give to one person lest Allah the Almighty cast him into the hellfire, even though another person may be dearer to me than him." In other words, while Hazrat Sa'd's assessment may have been correct, there were other considerations to factor. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would sometimes give to certain individuals in order to strengthen their faith. For some people remain steadfast in their faith only after receiving gifts or certain worldly benefits, as numerous examples have already been given. Explaining this narration, Hazrat Zainul Abideen Sayyid Waliullah Shah Sahib writes regarding the words believer, i.e. mu'min, and Muslim, that Imam Bukhari, by citing this hadith, has clarified the fundamental distinction between faith, i.e. iman, and Islam. Faith refers to an inner spiritual condition, whereas Islam pertains to one's outward state and conduct. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, taught the believers to exercise caution when expressing opinions about another person's spiritual status. For true knowledge of the inner condition of hearts belongs to Allah the Almighty alone. The companion whom the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had deemed it appropriate not to give to was Hazrat Ju'ayl bin Suraka, a sincere muhajir. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, loved him dearly. Nevertheless, despite this affection and despite Hazrat Sa'd's repeated insistence, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, taught this important principle and emphasized preserving the distinction that truly exists between faith and Islam. This incident also demonstrates, as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, taught his followers, take care for those who are spiritually weak, lest they stumble because of their weakness. A delicate plant requires a level of care that a mature tree does not. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, paid attention to even the smallest matters in order to safeguard people's faith from harm. In this regard, some uninformed individuals adopt a very improper attitude. And instead of protecting vulnerable people from circumstances that may cause them to stumble, they themselves become the cause of their stumbling. Rather than adopting a compassionate approach, they openly attack the faith of those who are weak. Such people have this habit, and as a result, they push these individuals even further away. Weak faith thereby becomes weaker still. Thus, this is a lesson that we should always remember. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, exercised such caution in this matter that he would even discourage excessive praise of someone's faith in the presence of others. This was not only because praise delivered directly to a person's face can sometimes be harmful to the one being praised, but also because comparisons of this nature may indirectly undermine or cast aspersions upon the faith and conduct of others. Through this single incident, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, taught four important lessons. Shah Sahib writes that these four lessons are, first, the distinction between Islam and faith, that accepting Islam and possessing true faith are not identical, for one pertains to outward conduct while the other concerns the state of the heart. Second, the appropriate and careful use of words, that one should employ the right expression according to the occasion and circumstance. Third, consideration for those whose hearts require comfort and strengthening. That is, one should assess as to what may bring benefit to different individuals. And fourth, one should not thoughtlessly praise someone in a manner that may inadvertently attack another person's faith and conduct. Thus, every incident from the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is a treasure house of wisdom and moral reformation. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, whilst describing the noble moral qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, exhibited perfect moderation in every respect, every moral quality manifested at its proper time and occasion. And among these noble qualities His generosity was always exercised in its proper place and according to the demands of the situation. Likewise, his spirit of self-sacrifice was displayed appropriately, and his benevolence and kindness were also always expressed with perfect wisdom and balance. There are countless accounts illustrating the Holy Prophet's generosity and benevolence. Through them, we also witness many other dimensions of his noble character. In any case, just as his teachings are perfectly balanced, every aspect of his conduct reflected that same balance. May Allah the Almighty also enable us to reflect upon every aspect of the blessed life and character of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and to act upon his guidance. May we strive to follow his noble example and mold our lives in accordance with the pleasure of Allah the Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر